For the gospel lesson this morning, I'll be reading from John 1, verses 1 through 18. The title of this reading is, The Word Became Flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children were born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
A glimpse of divine light. New Year's is sort of an odd celebration when you think about it. We welcome in the new year with parties and celebrations, but what is there to celebrate? Another year. We're another year older. Time passes on. Now, when I was a teenager, that was great. We wanted those years to jump past quickly. But now that I'm classified as a senior citizen, and soon to join the ranks of the retired, what's there to celebrate about being older? It reminds me of a true story. Mr. Henry Arkin was a Jewish cattle dealer who lived in Melford, and he was well known to all dairy farmers in Sussex County because he would come around and buy our call cows and take them to the slaughterhouse. Well, one day, Henry needed some help on his farm, which was located somewhere outside of Melford. So he went uptown of Melford and spotted this guy standing on the sidewalk. And so he went over to him and asked him, would he like to come and work for him that day? To which the man responded in Sussex vernacular, No, Mr. Arkin, I don't need to work anymore. I'm retarded. You're what? Said Henry. Yes, sir, Mr. Arkin. I'm drawing my Social Security, got a little pension, and I ain't working anymore. I'm retarded. To which Henry retorted, you don't sound too retarded to me. Well, I think the reason that we celebrate New Year's is that down deep we hope that the coming year is going to be better than last year because it's something new. In the past year, most of us have made a few mistakes, and you might want to go back and have a second shot at 2013. There are things I wish I could go back and do over differently. Most of us didn't escape last year without experiencing some sort of crisis or a disappointment. And therefore, we truly long for a new year. But new isn't always easy. We carry our old habits, our conventional behavior into the new year. And 2014 may not be, or may be a new year, but basically we're the same people that we were back in 2013. And so hopefully, though, we're a little bit wiser than we were last year. Winston Churchill said something to the effect that sometimes we learn from history, but most of the time we just pick ourselves up, brush ourselves off, and go right on as we had before. It's tough to be new. I think that's one reason we love to hear stories about people who got converted, made over again after an encounter with Jesus Christ. They were living one way that they were accustomed to, but then they got turned around and turned upside down and done over. Much like the TV show that, I don't know if it's still on or not, but The Extreme Makeover. We love those stories today because at some time or another, we long to be made new. Now, one of the claims of the gospel is that God makes all things new, even us. God's creativity has no bounds. We can be born again. We can start over. And through God's grace, we can truly have a new year. And let's see if John can throw some light on how that's possible. In John's gospel, which goes all the way back to the beginning of everything, right from the get-out, the very beginning, he's talking about creation. John begins his gospel as Genesis begins, in the beginning, referring us back to when God created the heavens and the earth. In fact, John actually takes us back even before creation, when nothing existed but God. And here John places the Word, meaning Jesus. In fact, he actually says that Jesus is a part of the Trinity God. The prophet Isaiah, speaking about words and the power of God's word, said this, quoting God, "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So when God speaks, something happens. That's all he has to do, is speak. Just by speaking, God brings all worlds into being. And when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as John said in verse 14, everything begins a new world. A world of the gospel comes into being. So just as the Creator said, "Let there be light," when the world was created in Genesis, the Word becomes a light in our darkness. So just inside this threshold of a new year, let us proclaim that Christ is at the beginning, the Logos, the eternal Word. He is the one who brings new worlds into being, who brings light into darkness, life into death, and something out of nothing. Wherever Jesus appears, There is a new beginning, a new world, a new you, or a new me. And in the beginning was the Word. Wherever Jesus Christ appears, there he is, in the beginning, for us. And so John continues this step-by-step progression to help us see the power and the effectiveness of God's Word and the Word of God himself through Jesus Christ. He then establishes this relationship of Word with God. And then he proclaims the Word is God. And John leads us to the central theme of the gospel message that Jesus, the Word, is fully God. And that's the basis of our Christian faith, that Jesus is God. And the only Son shares in the fullness of God and is fully God. Now, as God, Jesus existed outside the bounds of time and history. Before the act of creation, the Trinitarian God consisted of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there before the beginning. It was he who spoke words of light, and light appeared. He was there to speak the word animals, and animals came into existence. And there is now something where before there was nothing but a formless void. And the creation of the world continues. On a cloudless night, this God called a man named Abram, called him out. He was a desert nomad, called him out of his tent, and promised to make him a great nation. And here this was a childless old man and an old aged wife named Sarah. And though the world considered the old couple to be barren, God promised Abram that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars and would comprise a nation that would be a blessing to all nations. And all this would be on the basis of nothing more than a promise, nothing more than words spoken to a man who took action on those words, and the process began. And that's the way God works. God never stops being a creator. When the chosen people became numerous, they found themselves as slaves in Egypt under the Pharaoh, the most powerful empire on earth at that time. And then there was Moses out in Midian watching over his father's sheep, been out there for 40 years. And all of a sudden he was standing before a bush, and this astounded Moses, saw the bush break into flames, and then heard the voice of God speaking to him from that burning bush. I am the Lord your God. Now go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Is that all? God is going to free the Hebrew people on the basis of nothing but a command to a shepherd out in the desert, been living out there for 40 years. Shocked, Moses wants to know, who am I that I should go and speak to Pharaoh? But that is the way that God works, creating something out of nothing, a people out of nobodies, free women and men out of slaves. God keeps creating new worlds, opening doors, and giving new possibilities. Three chapters later in the Gospel of John, a man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. This was a well-educated person. He was a member of the Jewish High Ruling Council. He was supposedly a man of God. And Jesus tells this man who can't figure out who Jesus is, he tells him, you need to be born from above. Well, Nicodemus can't figure out how someone, particularly him, already a mature adult, could possibly be born from above or from anywhere else. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, where the wind blows, there it will. So John right then is referring Nicodemus right back to creation, right there to Genesis 1, and it's there that the world was created through the spirit or wind of God that was hovering over the water and swept through the chaotic darkness and brought something out of nothing and gave new life out of chaos. In other words, Jesus is reminding Nicodemus that the nature of God is to create and to give new birth. And even though he was old and he knows a great deal, Jesus is giving Nicodemus the promise of a new birth, new life, and a whole new world. And that promise is available to each and every one of us. Well, here at the beginning of the new year of 2014, I don't know what new birth, what new life, or new world that you may need. Maybe there's a situation where your world has fallen apart. Perhaps your world has come apart because of the death or serious illness of a loved one. We have that going on in our congregation right now. Many of you have recently, maybe you have recently received a diagnosis that's turned your world upside down. I know that's going on in this congregation. Most of us are hoping for a new life in our savings and investment portfolios as the Fed has announced plans to taper down their bond purchases, as it appears that the economy is improving. So what's that going to mean to us? Are you uneasy about the final outcome of the healthcare system as Obamacare continues to be implemented? As a pensioner, are you anxious about the viability of that pension for the long haul? Is your money going to outlast you, or are you going to outlast your money? The second can be worse. Are you constantly trying to improve your skills if you're in the job market so that you will not be obsolete, as some have become because they didn't keep up with the rapidly changing technology skills that are needed in the job market today? Maybe things have become chaotic and dark for you. Well, if that's where you are living, I know this. The God who spoke a world into being, the God who comes to us as the Word, who is Jesus, is the same God who continues to create. And this is good news. He still has the ability to renew and create anew. He's in control of this world. And God is unaffected by economic conditions, recessions, or catastrophic occurrences. God remains above it all. And through his word, he can speak new life into the beaten down, the anxious lives, who tend to focus on the negative around us. Instead, we should be looking at the possibilities on the horizon coming at the hand of our Creator, with whom all things are possible. As we enter this new year, 2014, we ought to enter it with great expectations due to who we are. John wrote in verse 14 of today's text, "Yet to all who received him," meaning Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What's that mean? Well, it means that you are a child of God. You are an heir to his kingdom. And God's not going to abandon you because you're his child. And you are in his kingdom, and he will make something and help you in anything that you're unable to bear. I was reading something earlier this week, and the fellow recommended that going into 2014, take one word and focus on that word. So I've chosen the word trust for 2014. Trust Him because He has promised He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to leave you. I can trust Him. You can trust Him. We all can trust Him. The Spirit of God is walking right beside us, His children. No matter what trials we are going to face in this temporary life in 2014, He's right there for us. And then, when our journey is finally complete, God will receive us into His everlasting, protecting arms forevermore. Amen.
Amen.